Blog Talk Radio.
Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are again on the Bottled Business Sense Show. It's Tuesday morning here at 10 a.m. for our regularly scheduled time. And for today's episode, we have a very interesting topic here Bill is going to present on, and that is called liability insurance and entity liability protection. Is there a difference? But before we do that, let me introduce my co-host, Bill Bernard. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great, Rick. Thank you. And it's another great morning here. We're going to do some educational material for the business owners and entrepreneurs out there. Good to see you, as always. And, you know, we premise our show, as we try to say from time to time, on this protection marketing premise, meaning that your business is thought of as being like a ship in a bottle, and it's protected by that bottle, and as it moves along the sea, it gets prosperous, more and more prosperous by the implementation of various marketing principles that we also try to discuss in general business issues that we try to get across to our viewers and listeners. So today, we're going to talk today about some things that I think some people are rather confused about, the distinction, as you said, Rick, between liability insurance and limited liability protection. And we can start with the premise that they are they're both in place for the purpose of minimizing the risk of financial loss to a business. That's their one big common element. So when we first start talking about this, Rick, what would you say if somebody said to you that, you know, I want to file an insurance claim, and you didn't know what the insurance claim was about? You're going to think right off the top that this insurance claim is going to be filed in order to do what?
To protect probably the assets of my business, I would
right.
think.
Right. To recover on a claim against your business, right? So in a nutshell, liability insurance protects the assets of the business. So think of the assets as the machinery or the furniture or whatever else you have that comprises the value of your company, other than what you do in particular. And then, of course, a business entity, which we've discussed many, many times on the show, that protects the assets of the business owner, the personal assets, right? So think of it this way, Rick. If you have a business entity, you're relegated to being able to recover only what the business value amounts to. If there's a claim against your business, liability insurance helps protect the assets of those business of those assets, because it attempts to give you a provision whereby you can make a claim on whatever your loss is in the business. So let's take an example. Liability insurance is purchased from an insurance company or carrier, and it protects such things as equipment, real estate, surplus funds, investments, whatever might be at risk because of a claim from a lawsuit. Limited liability protections which I call entity protection, which would be an LLC or an S corporation or a C corporation, they, in contrast, separate those business assets from personal assets, and therefore you have the duality of protection. You have the insurance protecting the business assets or allowing you to make a claim on a loss, and then you have the entity protection, which protects your home, your vehicles, your retirement accounts, your savings account, all of your personal assets. So it always amazes me, and look, it amazes me because I'm a lawyer and I think a little bit differently than the layperson, but there is a clear distinction between these two, and so there's no reason for anyone to ever ask the question, gee, I have this, why should I get that? You really should have both when you're doing business. But
that's a mistake, though, a lot of business owners make, because these two things,
right,
although they sound very similar, they're dramatically different.
And, sure.
But so for the solopreneur who's trying to do everything by themselves, a lot of them may not even be aware of the difference, right?
You're absolutely correct. And think about it this way. We have general liability insurance, right? Mm-hmm. You could also have an umbrella policy. A general liability policy protects what? Injuries due to accidents or claims of negligence, right? So somebody comes into your business and falls and says there's a dangerous condition, there's some water on the floor, or trips over a crack in the floorboard, or whatever it might be. Now you have general liability insurance, and by the way, you should have an umbrella policy on top of that because they're so inexpensive, and we talked about this in another show, $200-$300 a year, maybe $500 a year. You have that on top of your general liability coverage so you can cover those types of claims. Secondarily, you could have product liability insurance, right? Companies that manufacture or sell retail products may be responsible for the safety of those products, and they can cause personal injury or harm. So you buy a bottle of Bayer aspirin and it's contaminated. Well, Bayer aspirin, if it has product liability insurance, is going to try to make a claim on any claims that come through their door as a result of a consumer who claims that they're injured. And then, of course, you have professional liability insurance, also known as E&O, or errors and omissions insurance. Somebody like me, as a lawyer, would have that. An accountant would have it. A doctor would have it. It covers malpractice. It's another word for professional liability insurance. And, of course, all of that allows a claim to be made because I have this insurance in place to protect me. So these are important distinctions for small business owners. Now, there's one I didn't even mention that goes a little bit further, Rick, and that would be what? If somebody had employees, they're going to be required by law to carry workers' compensation insurance. Nice. So if somebody gets injured on the job, your employee, versus me, who comes into R2 Visual Studios and trips over one of your big cameras and, you know, breaks my back, I'm going to come after R2 Visual Studios. But the employee who trips on the camera and breaks their back has to what? File a workers' compensation claim.
Yeah, that's right.
So by law, you're going to have to have that insurance. You're going to have to provide it. So there are all of these different types of insurances, and they all go to do what, Rick? What we talked about at the top of the show, and that is they protect the business assets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if you didn't have that insurance, they could come after you, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Now, what you do to prevent them from coming after you is then to have entity protection, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show.
So Bill, the things that you laid out here, the general liability, product liability, professional liability insurance, and the workman's comp,
right.
Where would a business owner go, or who would a business owner talk to? Is this this all seems to fall under a commercial insurance agent or broker, that type of individual?
I would go to a broker. We talked about various brokers that have been on this show as sponsors. You know, Bill Pyatt would be one for insurance coverage. Excuse me. And Jack Aubuchon would be one for E&O coverage, for general liability coverage, for workers' comp. So yes, you would go to a broker. And you know, you could go to a major company and make these calls on your own if you know they provide this type of coverage. But a broker, generally speaking, can provide you with the best price because he's going to shop you around and have those brokers be competitive against each other. Excuse me, have those companies be competitive against each other because they want to be able to come back to the broker and say, hey, we're the one that can give your client the best price.
Right. So for the viewers or listeners out there, we'll also include the contact information for both Bill Pyatt, who's with New York Life, and also Jack Aubuchon with Mission Coast Insurance Services, who has been a previous sponsor before. So those will be below this video.
Now, it would not be fair if we didn't talk about some of the drawbacks of liability insurance coverage. One, there are coverage exclusions from time to time that would not cover a specific claim. Some common ones are, professional liability carriers do not cover certain services. They may think they're too risky. But more importantly, one of the types of coverages that would normally not be covered would be an intentional act, right? So,
what do you mean by that, by an intentional act?
It's not based on negligence. For example, instead of tripping over a camera, your employee throws a camera at somebody who comes in to do business with you because they've had a past dealing with that person and then they don't like them.
Yeah.
So that's an intentional tort rather than a tort that's grounded in negligence or accident. So most policies will not cover those intentional acts. They're not meant to, and you have to be aware of that when you get the coverage. Also, a claim can occur outside the coverage period. Certain policies may provide that the coverage only is going to be provided for a certain period of time, and you have to make sure that especially if you're switching coverages, you want to make sure that you have an overlap where one policy ends and another policy then picks up to make sure that you have the coverage in place. And then there's always the wonderful potential risk that a carrier finds a technicality in the policy that would not cover it. For example, they may or may not say that the policy holder, the person who applied for the policy, didn't provide complete or accurate information. Now, I don't want this to be an insurance class because insurance law is very intricate. It's not something I practice, but I'm very familiar with it because at one point in my career I did some insurance defense work. But suffice it to say, for purposes of this show, that if you have an insurance claim and it's denied by your policy, by the company that insures you, if it's found that they should have insured you, you could sue them for what's called bad faith. And that could be a separate action that's brought in court by an attorney who could then sue them for failing to provide you with the coverage that you have. But let's not focus on the negative. Let's try to make sure that we understand that the policy limits that we want to talk about for purposes of this show would really amount to per incident policy limits or aggregate policy limits. So I want to just give succinct definitions of those. So if you're insured in your business per incident, that means that the maximum amount the policy will pay per claim, if the limit is $500,000 and the claim is for $1 million, then the business may be responsible for the difference because the policy limits are set per claim and the maximum policy limits you bought were $500,000. Now, you could buy more than that, obviously. If you have an aggregate policy limit, that means that the limits are the maximum amount a policy will pay over the course of a period. So if the limits are $1.5 million, for example, then the carrier will only pay out that amount for all claims for that period of coverage. So you've got $1.5 million as your coverage. Let's hope you don't have more than $1.5 million worth of claims during that particular period of coverage that the policy will lay out. And more than likely you won't. So remember that if insurance policies do not cover the entirety of a claim made against your business, and again, that's not money out of your pocket now. You may pay a portion of it up front until the policy kicks in, but nevertheless, the bulk of it's all going to be paid by the insurance coverage, and your business assets, which are protected by this insurance coverage, will then not be affected directly. The insurance policy, if it doesn't cover the entirety of the claim, then the creditors will pursue the assets of the business. So here's how it works. Very simplistic. You have insurance coverage that covers your business assets. When a claim is made against your business, the insurance steps in and covers your business assets. That's the idea behind it. So your business assets aren't taken away. But if the insurance coverage doesn't cover the claim, or if there is an amount that's over the policy limits, then your business assets are affected and can be used to satisfy that claim, but only your business assets. Only your business assets. Why? Because you want to be able to have an entity set up that provides for only business assets being allowable toward a claim that somebody comes after you for that the insurance doesn't cover. You never want to have your personal assets exposed. So you have your insurance coverage and you have your entity protection, and they both put that beautiful umbrella around your personal assets and don't allow them to be exposed. So we want to talk about that a little bit in the second half of the show. But I want to first start off about talking about one of our sponsors here just for a few seconds, and that would be Steve Smith of Growth Source Coaching. You can see find Steve at growthsourcecoaching.com, and I think we'll have that information on the screen, won't we, Rick, later on?
Yeah, I'll put it down below.
So Steve is a business coach and a business consultant, and he's a marketing guy, and we've oftentimes said that you need that kind of person on your team. He does a lot of what Rick does, but, of course, Rick and I both have a lot of respect for him. He does sometimes a little more consultation work, which would take on bigger projects. And he's the kind of guy that can step in and make your business move forward while it's protected in that bottle. So if you need to talk to a business coach, somebody who can give you the tips that you need to make your business move forward, while at the same time you realize that you're going to have to do a lot of work with these tips, you're not, you know, again, you don't rub a bottle and a genie comes out and your business is profitable. You're going to have to work at it based on what Steve tells you to do. If you want to move your business forward, call Steve Smith at Growth Source Coaching, growthsourcecoaching.com. And Steve's phone number is area code 949-951-9163. That's 949-951-9163. Okay, let's get back to the show, Rick, and let's talk a little bit about entity liability protection, okay? And probably the best way to start this out would be to basically say business entities prevent creditors from coming after the personal assets of the owners, which we all know would be what? Homes, cars, savings accounts, retirement accounts. In other words, you have that corporate veil that's placed over your business, and it allows that business to shield your personal assets from any accountability should something occur by way of a lawsuit. Now, remember, you know we've talked for a long time, Rick, that one of my jobs is to keep people off the courthouse steps, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You say it all the time.
But, you know, sometimes it happens. There is such thing as a malicious litigation, and you know, it takes time to sometimes to defend a lawsuit. And one of my mottos has always been, you know, you don't have to be at fault to be sued. So you need this entity liability protection and this insurance protection. And by now, I'm hoping people are picking up on the distinctions because we've reiterated them now several times throughout the course of the show. But, you know, Rick, though I thought the best way to do this would be to give an example. And I think this example might be something that we could find a way to post somewhere. But let me go through it a little bit and see if you or anybody out there might have any questions. Let's suppose a company makes a mistake and someone is harmed, a client. We've talked about that. Some client is hurt in some way. The client sues the company and wins the lawsuit and is awarded $400,000. But let's say the insurance policy has limits of $250,000 per incident that we described a little bit earlier, which means now that what? It would not cover the entire claim. So in this case, the plaintiffs, the client who's injured, may choose to pursue the remaining $150,000 that's not covered by the policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So again, we have $400,000 award, verdict. Excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. I'm getting a cold. I apologize. We have insurance policy limits of $250,000. That means there's $150,000 left over that needs to be satisfied by way of the judgment against you and against your company. If the business does not have assets to cover the remainder, if it doesn't have enough business assets to cover the remainder, the plaintiffs could come after the owners. If the owners are operating a general partnership or a solopreneur, and they're not a limited liability company or a corporation, they could be held personally liable for the $150,000 excess. However, if they are operating under a limited liability entity or company, a corporation, then it would be extremely difficult for the plaintiffs to successfully recover any money from the business owners, because they've already maxed it out by way of the policy and there aren't enough other business assets to satisfy the judgment. So your policy comes into play to protect you. And in this case, you have a prime example where if it's maxed out, your entity protection establishes a veil over your personal assets so they cannot be reached to satisfy this judgment. So that's about as clear of an example as I can give to really hone in not only on the distinction between liability insurance and entity protection, but how they come into play, both operating in conjunction with each other to do what? Place this veil of protection over your personal assets, your car, your home, your savings account, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a great clarification, because I know we spent some time earlier in the summer. I think it was in July, episode 8, where you talked about piercing the corporate veil, and you also talked about entities that are available to us. And so this is, right. I don't think there should be any confusion at all what the differences are here and how important it is to have an entity to protect yourself from those creditors.
And to have insurance and to realize that they're not mutually exclusive when you're looking for protection for your business. They are not mutually exclusive. A business entity protects the owner's personal assets but does not protect the business assets. The business entity would help prevent creditors from being able to seize personal assets of the owners, but will not prevent creditors from coming after the business assets. Okay? That's mm-hmm. why you have insurance, to help protect the business assets. The entity protects your personal assets from any creditors or claims or lawsuits or whatever. So, what do you conclude from this? Well, you conclude that it's important to consider obtaining adequate business insurance coverage and setting up entity protections, right? And making sure you have complete protection, not just half protection, complete protection. And only with the help of a lawyer, a business lawyer who knows where to guide you and how to make that ship in the bottle move along with smooth sailing, that's the only way you're going to do this. And I might take just a minute to say at the close of the show, Rick, that, you know, what makes somebody different from any other lawyer? What makes one business lawyer different from another? Well, you know, in my operation, it's a boutique firm where I give my clients personal attention. I do the work. I take the phone calls. I'm flexible on my fees. Many times large firms can't do that. You'll get handed off to another attorney who then reports to another attorney. And maybe you can't get a hold of them because you got to go through two or three people to get to this guy or gal. Or you have set fees that a firm has established because they have to account to all of the other partners in the firm, all of the other shareholders in the firm, whatever the case may be. And so they can't be flexible with their fees. All of these things are things you should look for when you vet a professional to come on board and provide you with the guidance that you need for your business. In any business out there that does not have an attorney, an accountant, and a marketing professional on their team is at a clear disadvantage in today's world, Rick.
Yeah, well, it's certainly an advantage in your case when you're working with a small business owner. Mm-hmm. Having that close relationship with an attorney like yourself, Bill, is really key because not being represented by just a number or a ticket.
Right.
You're right there for them. You're right there with them, and you're holding their hand or will hold their hand through any issue that they may run into. Right?
That's correct. And you know, you need to vet, as I said, you need to vet people out when you're looking for them. Go out there and get opinions, get referrals, call up references, find out. Read a little bit about people. That's why we do this show. That's why we put out articles. BottledBusinessSense.com is different from BottledBusinessSenseShow.com because BottledBusinessSense.com is a newsletter. A new one will be coming out on January 15th. Has come out on January 15th. There are things that you can look at and read about and say, okay, what is this person about? And is this someone that I'm going to need? And look, make sure you hire the right person. Don't go out, obviously, and think every attorney is the same. You're not going to hire a criminal lawyer to do an LLC operating agreement for you, are you? So you're not going to hire a painter to go out and do your plumbing work for you, right? So you got to think these things through and use your common sense, and you're going to be able to pick the right people. So again, and I'm sorry, I'm fighting off this sneeze because I've caught this cold, and I apologize again. But you can see where we're going with this, Rick. There are a lot of confusion not only in the law but out there in the business world about what you need and when you need it, and that's, you know, that's why we're here, to be able to try to clarify some of these things for you if we can, and hopefully we've been successful at that in the months past.
Yeah, exactly. So. Viewers and listeners out there, if you have any questions in regards to today's topic, best way to get a hold of Bill that can answer your questions that you may have. Bill, why don't you let everyone know how to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. It's WFBLegalConsulting.com, and a new site is in the midst of being prepared. So when you go to see me, you may see the old site, but a great new site. With a lot of Rick's great videos and marketing ideas are going to be on that site. So that'll be able to showcase both of us. WFBLegalConsulting.com. My email is bill@WFBLegalConsulting.com. And my phone numbers are both 949 area code. One is 413-6535, 413-6535. And the other is 698-6222. That's 698-6222. And how about R2? Where do we get a hold of R2, Rick?
Well, folks, if you are in need of any project photography or design work or videography, marketing-wise, you can always get a hold of me at rick@r2visualstudios.com. Our website is r2visualstudios.com, and my phone number is 949-667-1182. So that's how you get a hold of.
And remember, folks.
Go ahead.
Good. So you get a hold of R2. Remember, folks, that Rick's is not just a guy who takes pretty videos or great snapshots. He knows how to make your videos into a marketing tool. And moreover, you'll be able to see from my new site his input on marketing ideas that go into making websites, marketing ideas that you can take and use in a published version of some tool that you may want to put out there to advertise your business, SEO stuff. I mean, you know, look to a wide range of stuff that center around videography. And the unique ability to take these videos and capture them and plug them into all of the other marketing tools, so you have this centralized process that's putting your good-looking face out there and making people understand what they're getting before they get it. And that's not an easy task to accomplish unless you know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can't wait to see it, though.
Well, you will before anybody else since you're working on it. But we'll look forward to that. And in the meantime, I hope it's been a little bit of a shorter show today, but these points are very succinct. I didn't want to overwhelm you with too many things, but remember the key is that you need both of these to protect your business assets and entity liability protection to protect your personal assets. And then you're ready to go to battle. You always want to stay out of court, and you do everything you can to make sure your contracts are prepared correctly to do that. But there's no state of perfection. When you least expect it, somebody can get nasty or have a gripe that they want to take to court. So we're here to help you. I'm here to help you. I have the unique ability to be able to go into court after many, many years of litigation experience. And so if the worst does happen, I can help you there. So until next week, Rick, I'll look forward to another show. I hope our listeners and viewers have a prosperous, wonderful business week. And you do the same, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, if you feel free to reach out to us at any time. If you'd like to be a sponsor on the show or have any comments or any suggestions on a future legal or marketing topic, we'd love your feedback. We'd love to be able to share that information with you and the rest of our viewers. So you can reach out to us at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com, and we're all over social media and also Twitter at BBSense on Twitter. So everyone, thank you again for being here with us today. We look forward to seeing you and having you with us again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Bill, thank you very much again, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Rick. See you, everybody.
All right.